It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 348, entitled, Do Alligators Taste Like Chicken? It was recorded on Monday, the 15th of September, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and today I am joined by Jess Frick, by Marcus Burnett, and by Mark Benzacane. It is a WordPress podcast, so we talk all about WordPress, but we talk about a lot of other things as well. We really do spend quite a lot of time talking about a whole host of WordPress events that are coming up in the near future. Some of them have some very different slants. Some of them are more corporate in nature. Some of them are philanthropic. Some of them are large. Some of them are small. But they all have something very nice and interesting to bring. We also spend a lot of time talking about the new things coming into Gutenberg and WordPress Core. And we also spend quite a lot of time talking about AI, as you might expect. Anthropic are spending $1.5 billion to make one of their legal issues go away. TypePad, which is a bit of a WordPress.com rival, that's going out of existence. And there's a whole lot more we talk about, including a massive segue into alligators. Who knows why? It's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud, managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by OmniSend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet OmniSend. Yes, that OmniSend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try OmniSend today at omnisend.com. Hello. Lots of hellos. The audio from this thing is rubbish for the first 10 seconds. So I say hello a lot, and it tends to iron out all of those problems. It is This Week in WordPress number 348. How many years is that? Divided by 52. It's quite a few. It's definitely over six episodes. I don't know, 5 years, something like that. We're here to talk about WordPress, as we always are. I am joined by a fabulous panel. Jess Frick, just in the nick of time, just got in there. How you doing, Jess? How's it going?
I'm good. I'm chasing time zones, man.
No kidding. We wondered if that was actually what was going on, because is there some sort of shift at some point? Has yours moved and ours has moved? Maybe, I don't know.
There is, and I overthought it, but thankfully my neighbor Marcus just ran over to my house real quick and was like, hey.
How far away, Marcus, hello, by the way, how far away are you actually in the real world, really?
About a 30-second drive. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Wow.
Really close. Okay.
Yeah.
And one day on this show, I want you to leave. One of you to leave and then pop off in the other house. That'd be kind of fun. So we've got our panel. I'll go around the houses properly. I've got Mark Benzacane to introduce as well, but we'll just go around the houses and say hi to everybody. So first off, Jess Frick. Recent appearances, Jess Frick did not have the little moniker that she's got now. It's shiny new, shiny, shiny. It says General Manager, Rocket.net. I'll read the bio and then you can tell us all about this new role, because the bio says Jess is the general manager for Rocket.net. Additionally, she's a diet Dr. Pepper devotee. I have no words. Rescue dog at Cat Mama and a proud member of the Post Status and WP Minute communities. So Jess, just for you, what's going on at Rocket.net? How did it all happen? What's been going on in your life over the last few weeks?
Oh man. So Ben and I have been friends for a long time. I'm friends with a number of people here at Rocket, and we've been talking about working together for a while. Then he had this new partnership coming up with hosting.com, which was also announced recently.
Yeah.
And he has elevated to become chief product officer at hosting.com. And he entrusted his baby rocket.net with me. So I am running all operations and taking care of our customers.
Wow. One
of my favorite things is we don't have a scope of support. We just are obsessed with our customer's experience and we go the extra mile. And so that's been interesting from an operational standpoint to work on. But
yeah,
I was with Pressable for so long. I still love the product. There's so many good people, but I am thrilled to be Team Rocket all the way now.
Nice. Well, I'm really pleased. Last time you were on, you were kind of dangling a carrot. You could tell us that something was going to change.
But now you know.
Yeah, you really did stick to your guns. So I applaud you for that, because it would have been very easy to I'll tell you a little bit, but you didn't. You were stuck to your guns. But I'm very, very pleased that it's all working out for you over there. So you can check that out at rocket.net. What a find that URL was. I imagine Ben bought that when it was still quite a desirable thing to have.
Yeah, he spent at least $20 on it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's definitely not one of the cheap ones. So there's Jess Freak joining us today. Thank you so much. Then we got Mark Burnett, who's down there. I guess a similar story in a way recently. Mark used to be with GoDaddy. He was on the show many times under those auspices. Recently moved over to Bluehost, and I'll read out the bio. Marcus works at Bluehost and runs a WordPress community site called The WP World. You can find that at thewp.world. Trying his best to get Nathan in trouble with customs again. Yeah, there's a whole story here, and it's about this. Anyway, that box there says Unleash the Wapoo. It's a little card box. You can see that cards fit into it. There's absolutely loads of them. Here's what they look like. And this is Marcus's card game. Now, honestly, Marcus has done such a terrific job. I mean, they are totally, like, really professionally legit cards, each of them containing either a Wapoo or something adjacent to a Wapoo. But the little hidden benefit that nobody knew about is that if you walk through a radar machine at an airport with a pack of these, they don't like it. And it sets off all the alarms. So I got pulled over because it's 2-1.
Just customs for some reason, because no one who flew inside the US had any issues.
Just me. Well, it was the fact that it was oversized. They said that's not a regular pack of cards, so it looked really suspicious. Anyway,
Nathan.
It led to a conversation with the people, like, what is that? What are these? And anyway, I tried to explain, but they sadly, Marcus, I wasn't able to sell any for you to the people at customs. They didn't
open any of it. That's all right.
Where can we get the card game, Marcus, if we're interested?
UnleashTheWapoo.com. And I do have a few, actually, that some are going out today to people who have already purchased.
Nice.
And I do have a few extras for people that might be interested.
Just give us a little elevator pitch. What is the purpose of the game and gameplay and things like that? How does it work?
Sure. It's a game for 2 to 6 players. Get together, enjoy the nerdiness of Wapoo and the WordPress community. And you only need one deck to play. You can sit down if anybody has a deck and play. And the purpose is to kind of collect all the Wapoo that you can in the space in front of you, aptly named the dashboard.
Nice.
Whoever gets to a certain amount first wins.
Well, you can definitely play it easily, because all of the rules can be contained on just this one little card. You get multiple of these little cards, you'll be able to figure it out. So if you go to Unleash the Wapoo, or Google Unleash the Wapoo, or go to the URL that Marcus just said, you too can be the proud owner of one of these. And, just put it in a little, what's it called, Faraday cage as you go through the customs there. So thank you for joining us, Marcus. Appreciate it. And then last, but by no means least, over there, Mark Benzacane. Hello, Mark.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. Mark, I've just refreshed. Mark's written a bio, so that's quite good. A minute ago, I didn't see it.
I did write a bio.
I'll read it out. Here it goes. Mark Benzikane is the marketing lead and partnerships manager at MainWP, which basically means he convinces plugin developers to play in the same sandbox as MainWP and somehow makes newsletters interesting to read. His career path looks like a choose-your-own-adventure book, one that includes importing coffee without a distributor. Oh, that's interesting. Launching an ISP without knowing what DNS was. Oh, that's really interesting. And surviving the early internet with only a fax machine and raw optimism. We had a whole conversation before we hit record about fax machines, but I won't bore you with that. These days, in his spare time, he's been working on a new podcast called Failure, in which he and a guest talk about past failures. Its focus is to show others that they're not alone. First episode dropping this week. Stay tuned. That's a nice idea. I like that. This week coming out.
Yeah. And there is a person here on the panel who actually I got to interview. And,
nice. Okay. Just wait a minute. Where do we find this? Have you got the site and domain also?
I have a domain. I have no site sorted. This whole idea really came up. It was almost, I don't want to say it was an afterthought, but it was definitely something that came up on the cuff. I was talking to someone here at the co-work and they said, what kind of podcasts, you know, do you think need to be out there? And I didn't even think about it. I just said, you know, I'm really tired of all the success podcasts. They all say the same thing.
And
it's not that the information is bad. It's just, there needs to be a failure podcast. And she says, I would totally listen to that. And I said, And so why not? And so I have about 8 of them in the can now.
Oh, that nice.
I'm trying to, with more people, you know, scheduled. And what I'm looking for right now is someone to edit the videos, because that's the thing. It's like, you know, doing the interviews, it takes about an hour, you know, but then there's the, okay, how do we make it look pretty? And then me making something look pretty, I can barely make myself look pretty, let alone anything else. So
can I make a recommendation to you? Invest some time into a tool called Descript.
Yeah, you've talked to me about that.
It's definitely worth it. And if you get into some of the AI bits, whilst it won't it won't publish it for you, you can tell it to edit the video and the AI will take a stab at it. And then in the editing interface, you can tweak it if you're not happy with how it goes. And so have a look at that. Also,
it'll be distributed on YouTube to start with. Then it'll go beyond all that if it turns into something, you know.
Major. I've never right now, promoted this on this podcast, but I'm going to do a bit of self-promotion for a tool that I have been working on with a very nice chap, very friendly guy called Dan Maybe. He's the clever one. I'm the guy that just talks about it. And it's this thing. Let me just put it on the screen. And it might be interesting to you because you're just starting a podcast. It's called Podcast Plus. And it's a WordPress plugin that allows you to, like, let's say, for example, you've got an RSS feed. So in your case, it might be YouTube or something like that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It will suck it in to your WordPress website. And if you, tell it whenever a new episode drops, it will create a post, draft it, or make it live. But the cool bit, the best bit, is we've built a player which you build up using blocks. So instead of it being that kind of typical rectangle, which you copy an iframe out of, you build all of the component parts however the heck you want. So the play button is a block, and the fast forward button is a block, and the featured image is a block, and the description is a block. And you know, you build them in an interface, save it and say, I want it to look like that. And you can really make it whatever the heck you like. So go check it out.
Cool.
Podcasterplus.com. So there you go.
Question for you, Nathan. So where does the file go?
The file is hosted on your hosting service. So in the same way that you have a website, rocket.net, Bluehost, whatever, and you've got a hosting over there, typically a podcaster will pay for, I mean, not just typically, almost, I would say 99.99% of podcasters will pay a subscription fee to a hosting company, but the hosting company is specific to podcasts. And what they do is when you upload an episode, that's basically what you do is you go in, you say, create new episode, you give it the audio file and you write a description and you write the title and what have you. And then it'll produce an RSS feed and we consume the RSS feed. So it's hosted elsewhere, typically, if that makes sense. Did I explain that very well? Yeah.
Right. I get it.
Yeah. Cool. So it's a fun little thing. We're going to probably start launching it maybe next week, maybe the week after. It's basically finished. and ready to go. And it's at podcasterplus.com. Anyway, less of that. Let's just do a quick run through of a few bits and pieces. First, bits of housekeeping, if you don't mind, just to get everybody sort of figured out what's going on. If you want to join us, or rather, if you're joining us already, you've found your way here. But if you want to direct your friends, colleagues, relations, or whatever, send them here. wpbuilds.com/live. There'll be a video embedded in there. You can watch it there. And if you want to use the comments on the right, that's YouTube. So you'll need to be logged into a Google account. And then if you don't want to use YouTube comments, then click the little button top right of the video player. It's a little black button, I think it is. It says chat or something like that. And then you don't need to be logged into anything. And please just send people there. And then when your comments come through, we will put them on the screen, a little bit like this one from Courtney. Hi, Courtney. Happy Monday, says Courtney. She's in your neck of the woods, I think, isn't she? She's not Florida, but she's on the eastern seaboard, I think. I could be wrong about that. Peachinary says hello. Taco, the Don Shop. I was in South Shields, UK, less than 24 hours ago. Oh, you were wise to leave, Taco. I don't know much about South Shields, and I think I'll leave it at that. But I'm joining you from, I don't know how to say that, difficult word now. Anybody want to have a stab at that word?
I'd go Widgen.
Widgen. I'm going to say Widgen. Yeah, Widgen. Yeah, in some Dutch word there. And oh my God, that title looks so good on you, Jess. Woohoo! That's nice. Patricia's joining us. From Europe somewhere, probably Germany, I'm imagining, and Taco's back. Nathan isn't wrong. The podcaster player is really nice to work with. Thank you, Taco. He was one of our beta testers and gave us some nice feedback, which was great. RSS, who invented that? Dave Weiner invented that. And I chatted to Dave Weiner this week, which was kind of fun. I got really nervous, got really stage frighty, which I never get. I got really panicked, kind of like I had to calm myself down. Because to me, talking to somebody like Dave Weiner is a bit like regular people talking to an A-list movie star. And I got a bit freaked out. But luckily, he was a very kind and considerate chap. So that was nice. Hello, Elliot Sowerby says. Tammy Lister's joining us as well, which is nice. And very windy here in the UK, says Tammy. There you go. That's all of the bits and pieces out of the way. Okay. Let me get those off the screen if I can. I actually can't. Oh, yeah, because it's a caption, not that. There we go. That's gone now. Right. Let's put the bits and pieces up that we're doing this week. Bit more self-promotion, I'm afraid. Firstly, this is us, wpbuilds.com. These are podcast episodes. You can find them in this archive just here. This week, I chatted to Amir Helter from WPML. WPML translates your WordPress website into multiple languages, and they've gone all AI, as you might expect. I think AI, I don't know what the panel think about this, AI has, in my life, not really made that much of an impact. It seems to be making everybody else's life really exciting. Tammy's going to kill me because she's desperate to make me like the AI apostle, but I'm not becoming it particularly quickly. But I really think that translating stuff is a completely credible use of AI because it's pretty functional, isn't it? It's not really trying to create anything new. It's just trying to take one thing from one language to another. And in the past, plugins like WPML, really, it was moderately expensive to do because you had to get human beings involved at every step. You wanted to go from German to Japanese, you basically needed a human to do that. And now AI will do I think they go do something like 50 or 60 languages. It'll do them all in like 5 seconds. So if you've got a blog post and you want it translating all over the place, it'll do that. So he's on the podcast to talk to us.
Did you see the Apple announcement with the AirPods? I'm really excited to try that out. Apple's new AirPods will do live translation. So someone speaks their language into your AirPods and it will translate into your language in your ears, kind of blocking them out. And then same the other way. Or if you speak, it'll translate onto your phone so you can show them if they don't have AirPods what you were saying.
That is
really excited to see that in action. Yeah.
Can I ask a question about that? Because that's really exciting. Firstly, how does that differ from what Google's been doing? Obviously, maybe not inside of an earpiece, but is the technology bound in the headphones? So it's not like you probably do need an iPhone, I'm imagining, to make the connection and what have you, but it
uses require... Apple's in, yeah, Siri's Apple Intelligence or whatever for the, it's, I don't think it's a whole lot different than what Google's been doing.
Okay. Just but Apple they will market it in an Apple-y beautiful way, no doubt. And the other question I have, and I don't know if you've got an answer to this, is does it have like that pregnant pause, or does it translate it in real time? You know, so as the person is saying the word, does it basically come out at the speed at which they're speaking?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm excited to see how it works.
Yeah.
And if it is. Yeah, I don't want to stand there for 10 seconds waiting for it to translate and then continue the conversation. So you'd imagine it'd have to be fairly snappy, but yeah.
Can you imagine if they pull that off? Can you imagine how profoundly different the world will be if they actually pull that off? I know it just sounds like a clever gimmick, right, when you say it. But imagine you could get off a plane almost anywhere on planet Earth. And you could
in a mix of languages, not even just one, you know, any language that's around, you know, should filter in and be in something that you understand in your ears. Yeah.
Wow. That's true. Okay. So the answer is I didn't see that. but that's really exciting. And the fact that it's in that teeny tiny small form factor, which kind of gets out the way and doesn't look weird is pretty incredible. Yeah. That's amazing. Anyway, WPML will endeavor to do that with your WordPress website. So that's where they push their endeavor. So we've got an episode about that. So go and have a look at that. And then more recently, I did an episode with Birgit and Anne McCarthy all about the bits and pieces happening in WordPress core. I'd just draw your attention to this as well. I did release an episode. We do these episodes probably every, I don't know, month or two months, something like that, with Joe Dolson, who's one of the core committers on the accessibility team. And we go through a bunch of websites and try to pick out one thing, like one aspect of a bunch of websites. And this time around, we were doing keyboard navigation and how the websites cope with that. And it wasn't great. But there was one winner, which was the sort of Harvard Gazette, which was pretty amazing. So it was nice to see an example of a site executed really well. So you can check that as well. Go to this archive here. You'll be able to find it. And I think that's it, basically. Then we're on to the bits and pieces that our panelists have bought. And I can't remember which one of you wanted me to mention this. Marcus.
I think I tossed it in there, yep.
Yeah. Do you want to go for it? Tell us what you're thinking.
Yeah, I just tossed it in here. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to be there, but I am a media partner for LoopConf. The WP World is somewhere at the bottom there. So been tasked with helping get the word out. The WP World is down there. It's in 10 days, I believe, and it's in your part of the country. And just getting the word out that the schedule and speakers and all that stuff are on the site. Go get your tickets so you can join up.
So a couple of things I would add to this. The first one is that if you are coming, and there's quite a few people that are, it collides perfectly with the WPLDN event, which I co-organize with the guy who's working with me on the podcast, the Plus Blogging. So that's Dan Maybe. So if you are in London the night before, so the 24th, which is a Wednesday, we'll do our regular WPLDN meetup. Two speakers, Tammy Lister is actually one of them. Who's in the chat, and Mike Demo is the other one. So it's the you know, turn up at 6 o'clock, two presentations, then we pack up and go to the pub for a bit, and then you'll be able to, you know, wake up bright and early in the morning with no hangover at all, and head straight to LoopConf. And they're all within a short walking distance of each other. So it's a real nice 1-2 hit. So it's happening 24th is WPLDN. Actually, I should probably put the page up, shouldn't I? WPLDN is the 24th. So let me just quickly see if I can find that. There we go. WPLDN.uk is the address there. Ooh. And that's the 24th, involving Tammy and Mike Demo. And as you can see here, if you fancy getting 50% off your LoopConf ticket, you can use the code WPLDN and you'll be able to apply that and get 50% off the ticket price. So I also saw on the socials that Brian, who is organizing LoopConf, he was making the tickets available. I don't know exactly at what price, but he was making the point that if price is the problem to getting you to attend, get in touch with him and he'll try and work something out. So there may be a deal to be done if you think you might be able to make it. So there we go. There was LoopConf, the first one. You can see
WhatConf. I also have information that Brian and his lovely wife, Katie, will both be there. And I don't know that I've ever seen both of them in the same place at the same time. Oh. So that might be worth the ticket price just on its own.
Yeah. It's Central London. It's 8 speakers that you can see right here. Won't go into all of those. But one day and then an after party afterwards as well. So join them, join us. And there we go, loopconf.com. And then this one, Marcus, you brought to our attention as well. Do you want to mention this one?
Sure. Similarly, I added this one because tickets are on sale. Go get your tickets now. I'm actually helping organize PressConf for 2026. It's in April, but the early bird, we're calling them startup tickets. The early bird price is good through the end of this month. So I wanted to make sure that people are aware of that and to go get your tickets now. PressConf happened for the first time last year as a sort of spiritual successor to Pressnomics, which happened for, I believe, eight or nine years. Mm. It's fantastic. Everyone who went last year, ask just about anybody who went, they would guarantee that you'll have the time of your life. You get to see some, it's a one track conference. So everyone's in the same room, even the sponsors and everybody, we're all gathered in the same room, very intimate talks. Nothing is recorded. So, everyone who speaks can be very, open and candid about their talks, knowing that it all just stays in the room. So you get some very different talks than what you would at most other events. Tickets are on sale now, and encouraging people to go get them before the early bird price is up at the end of this month.
It's April the 8th to the 11th, 2026. It's in Tempe. I think you pronounce it like that. Tempe, Arizona. PressConf.events is the URL for that. PressConf.events. I will put a link in the show notes. Okie doke. Unless Jess or Mark have anything to say about those, we'll move on.
Yeah. I just want to say that I agree. PressConf is phenomenal. I hate that it's at the same time as WordCamp Asia. I know PressConf announced their dates first and then WordCamp Asia came out. So obviously they were both trying to avoid one another, but things happen. It's a phenomenal event. Marcus.
Sorry.
I love that you're organizing, Marcus.
Oh, yep. Me too.
It'd be kind of interesting to see if there's a precipitous drop on the WordCamp Asia ticket sales, especially from your part of the world, you know, the USA, because I'm imagining, given a choice.
PressConf isn't that big.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's 200, I think, something like that.
It's going to be about 200, so it's not going to take a significant chunk away from WordCamp Asia. But, it's a fantastic conference. It's a lot of decision makers, a lot of corporate decision makers that are going to be there. The demographic is different at PressConf than what would be at WordCamp Asia. I'm fully convinced that it's worth going to. And there are lots of other considerations, travel price and location, safety, and all of that when it comes to traveling to WordCamp Asia and all of that. So they're just different events, and people will choose where they can be.
Talk about traveling to Tempe in April versus August.
Oh,
it's going to be beautiful in April. That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering.
So just to give some context to that, the next iteration of WordCamp US is it? No, it's not Tempe. It's Phoenix, isn't it?
Yeah, they're neighboring cities.
Similar environment. Yeah. This one's in April. And by that point, I imagine the temperature is just sort of climbing up and it's actually probably really nice. Whereas in August, my understanding is that it's fairly brutal by the time you get to August. It's pretty, in degrees centigrade, you're into the 40s or something like that.
But it's a dry, heat.
Okay,
so, that's what people say. Yeah.
still very hot. But okay, so we'll come to loads more events in a minute, but there's at least two for you. Well, three actually, WPLDN, LoopConf, and PressConf. Check those all out. Let's get to the WordPressy bits. Actually, just before we do that, I'll just go to a few of the comments because we've got a few here. Tammy's saying she gave up on me for a bit. She'll convince me eventually. I think you will. I think it will convince me, but I think AI and translations are a particularly like sweet spot. I don't think I've got any reservations about that. And Tammy also says, yes, and that's also a safety thing for those traveling. I presume she's talking about WordCamp. Sorry.
I think that was about the AirPods.
The AirPods.
Oh, being able to understand what's going on around you.
You're not standing there with your translator book.
Yeah. So translations, says Taco, work really well if the AI has enough understanding of the context. Otherwise, you get really bad translation mistakes. Oh, that's interesting. I imagine, as with all tech, this will only get better. It will never get worse. And so if the entry from Apple is all right, then I imagine it'll just get better than all right each time. However, Peachinary says, yeah, but you still need a human to check the translation. The things that come out can be hilarious. Good point. Amir wasn't sort of trying on the podcast that we recorded. He wasn't trying to make the point that it's just sort of set it and forget it. I think a human has to be in the loop there, doesn't it? So yeah, that's a good point.
Hilarious is also a best case scenario.
Just brings up your competitors or what have you. There has to be a delay. So this is the AirPods. There has to be a delay because of the order of the words in sentences is different between languages. That's a good point. Yeah. I wonder when, can you imagine how fiendishly complicated this puzzle is to unpick? Like figuring out, okay, I'm pretty sure they've got to the end of that bit. Okay, translate, go. Must be a heck of a lot of engineering. And Patricia says, about the card game, I got pulled at the airport security for a stack of business cards, same as the game. It creates a block that can be suspicious, could be a box with something inside. Yeah, they just didn't like the fact that there were all these parallel lines. I think they thought it looked like electric circuits or something like that. So that was kind of interesting. Taco says, I royally, and then he's put underscores, hate WordCamp Asia and PressCons having conflicting dates. I don't want to miss either one. Yeah, unfortunately, the die has been cast this year. But do you know what? Marcus Bennett, if only there was a website that we could go to where somebody listed out a whole ton of events so that we could see when things were happening. If you could just, it's called the WP. Well, do you far into the future? Do people at this point yet reach out to you with prospective dates? Do you do any of that kind of stuff?
I have a couple that are just kind of a month and year and not full dates, but I have any event that I have some semblance of information for that people are okay with me posting. I'll add, some people just kind of want to put things on my radar and they're not ready to announce it yet. I'm not going to pull, put information out there that organizers don't want me to have out there just yet. But
do you know what though? It would be a nice, and I'm not asking you to build this, but it would be a good thing to have a place where you could put prospective dates as well. So in this case, obviously that could have been avoided, but it wasn't because presumably neither of the parties knew what the other ones were thinking. And then by the time it was announced, everything had been booked up, the accommodations sorted and all that kind of stuff. It would be good if there was a place where you could just list out, here's the 12 dates that we might do or the 3 dates that we might do or whatever. And then people could go and kind of, like those kind of collision things that you have on calendars to make sure that the 3 people involved didn't conflict with one another. Taco says he's going to stop spamming us now. No, keep going, Taco. It's wonderful. I love it. And then more comments about what have you. And then Tammy, out of nowhere, lost my nail clippers at New York Airport this time. Oh, damn. I have no words. Yeah, that is dangerous, yeah. You mean lost as in they took them off you, or lost as in you literally lost them? Right, up to this then. Let's put this on the screen. What's new for developers? This is Ryan Welcher. back to WordPressy stuff now. What's new for developers? This is an article which comes out typically once a month, something like that. As you can see from the table of contents, there's absolutely loads in here. I'm just going to touch on a couple of things, and then you can go and have a look yourself, because it goes kind of a little bit in the weeds a little bit later. But there's a couple of highlight items I want to mention. Firstly, WordPress gets an accordion block. Not exactly brand new, but there we are. You now get the option to add an accordion. It comes with four sort of subsets. You've got an accordion item, an accordion header, and an accordion panel. All the bits that you need in an accordion, given their own block. So that's quite nice. You can also style input elements, so form elements, with theme.json, a bit nerdy and technical perhaps for this one. Data views has received some updates as well, which we'll touch on in a moment. And then there's a few bits surrounding AI and Playground as well. I'd encourage you to go and read that. Kind of jumping off a bit from there, we got this What's New in Gutenberg piece, 21.6. And you can see that the accordion thing is mentioned again. There's a little video of how it works. Basically, all your accordion needs are now taken care of inside of the core block editor, which is quite nice. If you've been using data views, and especially their grid interface, you now have a few more options. You can basically just get rid of a few things. So, for example, titles can be hidden, and you can now interact with the different panels in the grid by hovering over them. So you now no longer have to sort of click inside and open multiple menus, which is nice. Here's the bit that we were talking about. Select dropdown and text inputs are now supported with global styles. So, for example, you could tell, I don't know, your website, I want to have a white border with a background, a border radius of 3 pixels, which is white on all form elements. You can do that now via theme JSON and a few other bits. I don't know if any of that excites any of you, but I thought I'd mention it. If it doesn't, I will just move on. If you've got anything to add, I'll pause for a second and you can hop in.
I'm actually excited about the accordion thing. Just because
I know.
I dealt with it over the weekend, and I just couldn't get it right. I hardly ever do website development, but when I do, I have to remember how to do things because it's, you know, and it's like, I'm sitting here fighting with what I think should be the most basic thing, and hopefully this will resolve that. Well, I finally got it working, but
it's kind of curious that in the old world of things like page builders or a plugin which would have done accordions for you, you basically had one little panel and you would set everything up in there. Now that everything's been atomized as a block, I actually think, although in the end it's better, I think it's quite counterintuitive that you have to. Like, you've got this parent container, then you've got a block, which, and then inside of that, you've got the content which fits in the accordion. And it's not necessarily obvious if you're not familiar with it, opening up the inspector on the left hand side and clicking on the different bits and pieces. It's not always that straightforward.
It took me far longer than it should have.
What happens if you put an accordion container outside of the accordion? Does it?
I don't know.
Block, that, you kind of could, right?
This is exactly the sort of thing which somebody's going to do right away, though, isn't it? Let's test and find out. Let's see if that's possible. I bet Tammy in the comments can figure it out. I was thinking if you put an accordion within an accordion and then did another accordion, well, how does that?
Oh, yeah. Accordions all the way down.
Accordionception. Yeah, basically. I don't know what would happen, but I imagine something would go wrong because I'm guessing that it's dependent upon that. You know, that correct sound.
You'd spend the next 4 hours trying to figure out which block you need to use.
That's
what will happen.
So that would be kind of curious. I'm sure, Marcus, as you've said, it would be trivially easy to drag out child accordion blocks from their parent container, but in a way you'd want to protect that, wouldn't you? You'd want to have a UI where that were not possible, where you couldn't do that, but I bet you can.
Tammy says you kill wahoos if you do that.
each time you do that, one of these cards.
That's all. Don't do it.
I don't know, but I think, Marcus, you're absolutely right. It will definitely be possible. So there we go. Anybody else want to talk about those couple of things? If not, I'll just move on. You ready? Moving on, it is. This is only going to matter for a very small subset of you people, Tammy probably being one of them. Two-factor authentication is going to be required for people with very important capabilities on make/core. So basically, if you have the capacity to update core, then you are, as of the 16th of September, 2025, you're going to have to, you're gonna have to get 2FA set up. Let's pray you already did that and you know what this all means. If you don't know what 2FA is and you have Corkum access, then I think all is lost. But you're going to be forced to do it, because if you don't, you're going to be downgraded to having the contributor role, and you'll suddenly log in and nothing will be possible. So anyway, there you go. It's a step in the right direction, I suppose, in terms of making sure that everything is locked down just as you would expect. I'm surprised that wasn't done earlier, in all honesty. I imagine most of the people have already done that, but okay. Shall I move on, or are you happy there? Moving on then. Okay, so we've got a ton of event stuff coming up. So we've already mentioned several, but here's a few more. From the makers, I believe this is true. I think I'm right in saying this. From the LoopCon folk, so Brian from WP Sessions, they have announced the dates of Woo Sesh. This is a two-day event, it looks like. For some reason, I always thought it was a one-day event, but I'm probably wrong. It's happening on October the 14th to the 15th. So what's that? About a month from today. It's virtual. And yeah, you can basically go and get yourself signed up at the moment. 2 days, 22 speakers, 17 sessions, infinite fun. And you too could save yourself $799. Not that arbitrary amount of money, yeah. just put in there. $799. No. It's free. And obviously, you know, you can get from the name, I'm sure that it's for those of you that are really into woo. You're just using WordPress with no e-commerce, it'll probably be a curiosity, but maybe not up your street. But
I heard they have some really phenomenal speakers this year.
Oh, go on, let's scroll down. I'm going to take the bait. Let's see who they are. Okay, here we go. Hey, look at that. There's Courtney Robertson. She's in the comments. That's nice. Yeah. Let's keep going.
Keep going.
Michelle.
There
he is. Pretty similar to Marcus as he is right now. Same sort of length beard. Same. Is it the same cap?
Are you wearing the same? Different angle.
Yeah, pretty much. So, the great and the good. Look, we can see them all there. So loads and loads of people. Do you know what yours is about? Oh, they got your they got your moniker wrong there. Look, they've got you still working.
I think these are past speakers.
Okay, good. Because you didn't know you were doing it in October.
Wait a minute.
I've spoken a couple times before at Woo Sesh, but I don't believe
that's okay, great. Yeah, well, in which case I guess that website needs updating, but anyway, here we go. Check, look, is the action. No, so
this last year's
needs a bit of an update. So they've obviously just launched it into the wild and got a few bits and pieces to take care of. But if you're into it,
maybe this year it'll be $799.
Maybe it will. It'll actually cost loads.
You better sign up.
Yeah, better sign up. But anyway, there it is. So it's available. You can go and check it out. Okay. And then moving on, I'm just going to move things out of order a little bit. Let's put that one first. This one came across my radar. I think it was in Devinda. So Devinda does a really nice newsletter, which drops every Monday. It's called the WP Weekly. You perhaps receive it already. And he's got a section where he talks about events and things like that. And this was one that I'd not heard of. So this is coming up in more or less exactly a month. I have translated this using Google Translate. So apologies if the language is not what was intended. But it's called WP Agency Forum. The URL is exactly that, wpagencyforum.com. And it says, WP Agency Forum is an event created for web development agencies and professionals who offer WordPress-based services and seek to grow in a structured, profitable way with a long-term vision, you know, like an agency, basically. And then if you click here, you can buy your tickets. Looks like this one is, if you go for the online entry, you don't have to pay anything. But if you want to actually attend, I'm guessing it's in person. I'm not sure. Well, it says in person, but I don't know what that means in terms of dates and things, or timings, but that's going to be 100 euros. So you can check that out. There's the speaker list. Just quickly scroll through it. Marcus Burnett is not on that one. Mark Benzagain disappeared, but he's back now. That's good. Hello, Mark. I don't know what happened there. It's a sigh of relief. Mops his brow. You can go and check this one out. Okie dokie. Anything on that one, anybody? Probably not.
I missed all of it. So.
No, don't worry. No, it's a new event.
I think it's amazing. I think
it's so good.
Amazing.
So
absolutely.
Yeah, you're on the speaker list, Mark. I don't know if you knew, but right down at the bottom there. You're doing the keynote. You've got 7 hours as well on stage. It's pretty impressive.
And I'm so excited about it. And I'm learning Spanish. Yeah. I'm learning Spanish just to be able to do it.
So. And really, to pivot so beautifully into talking about WordPress and knitting like that is brilliant. I'm really looking forward to that whole thing.
No. Crochet.
Sorry.
There's a difference.
I've obviously trodden on a... Yeah, it's a sensitive talk. It's a sensitive thing. And here we go. Here's another one. This is really interesting. I wonder if this pattern will continue. Maybe this has been done before, but I've not heard of it. We're on The Repository by Ray Moray. Go and check everything out that she does. She's a brilliant contributor to the WordPress news space. In fact, I'd go as far as to say she is the contributor in the WordPress news space. She's just brilliant. She's written an article all about WordCamp, and I cannot get this word out in my mouth. Gdynia. I'm going to go for that. Gdynia. It's in Poland. And they've taken the really interesting decision to not only do the conference in Polish, which you'd expect given it's in Poland, but also to offer the presentations or some proportion of in English as well. And it says here, when the conference kicks off on the 26th to 28th of September in the seaside town of Gdynia, or city, sessions will run in both English and Polish, a deliberate move to open the event to international speakers, attendees, and sponsors. So I don't know if that's like half of them are going to be in English or what have you, but it's Maciek Palmowski, who's been on the show several times. And they just want it to, well, he says, the shift has been about breaking out of what he calls Poland's comfortable bubble, with 3 WordCamps now running annually in the country. He said the same speakers and sponsors were starting to circulate from city to city. The only way we can make the pool bigger is either to make the event kind of wider or add another language. Have you ever heard of this, panelists? Have you ever heard of an event doing like a multilingual thing like that? It's, everyone I've ever been to has always just been English because of the nature of where I've been, but...
Yeah, I have not actually. I think that's pretty interesting. Most of the camps, well, here, obviously in English, but in, you know, Spain and you know, other regions, they generally just do in their native language. Mm-hmm. So this is interesting that they've, and the reasoning makes sense, right? They have a pretty good turnout, but they seem to get a lot of the same speakers and same attendees because they've sort of, I don't know, I guess, box themselves into the region. And so this is their way of figuring out how to kind of broaden the circle and attract more speakers and attract more attendees.
Tokyo, apparently, says Tammy, was one of the places that has done this in the past. Yeah, I guess if you're in a little ecosystem, I don't know what the WordPress community is like in Poland, but from what Maciek said in that article, it sounds like maybe it was just a recycling of the same people going around, and so just widen it a little bit, offer it to English-speaking contributors as well. It's kind of interesting. I kind of tall a little bit, actually, because I think the English-speaking world get a fairly good crack of the whip when it comes to WordPress events, if you know what I mean. You know, if you turn up to more or less anything that's large, like the flagship events, it's mainly done in English. Sure. So, yeah, I mean, I obviously can't criticize this because it's what that community wants to experiment with, but there's a side of me which kind of wishes that it was available to grow in just by using its native language, but I guess that is probably not the case. So there you go. Okay,
it's a bit of this article that? Though that made me laugh out loud. Scroll down just a little longer. Magic's quote.
Oh yeah, what did he say? I'd confess I didn't highlight that. Where do we go?
Stop there.
Okay.
One of the craziest things I learned this year is how much it costs to hire a pirate ship for an hour. The thing you learn when organizing a WordCamp.
Yeah, I mean, it can get very expensive once you get into pirate ship hiring. That's a whole other podcast.
And then there's the Polish pirates versus like the Spanish pirates.
Yeah.
Like,
the whole thing.
It's robbery.
Oh. I feel like there's a whole podcast thing in that, you know, how expensive it is to hire a pirate ship. Over to you, Mark Benz. Again, you're into make a new podcast. This is a bit it's like a you.
Catchy session title for an event session.
Pirate podcast, right? Okay, I'm going to write that one down as the possible title of this. Here we go, pirate podcast.
The craziest thing I ever did with a WordCamp was I tried to get Henry Winkler to show up to the WordCamp Milwaukee.
The Fonz.
The Fonz. Well, because Milwaukee is where, like, we have the bronze Fonz, and our whole theme was like 50s, you know. And to his credit, to his great credit, his agent responded to me and said, he'd love to be there, but he's out of the country. But he's sending you a bunch of signed books that he's written.
Oh, wow.
I got a box full of, that I gave away as prizes at the WordCamp. So, you know.
That's
never know. It doesn't hurt to ask about stuff like
what?
This.
I just love the idea that he would have contributed by basically walking on stage and going, hey. just walked up again. By the way, Mark, that sows a seed in my head. You know how we're always talking about ways to sort of jazz up WordPress events? I think that would be so interesting. Each event has to bring some celebrity. Just completely out of context, get some celebrity to come on stage, just do whatever they do for 10 seconds and then walk off again, just as a bit
of a gimmick. Choices are celebrity or pirate ship.
Oh, a pirate. Yeah.
Or a pirate ship. Yeah.
I don't know who I'd nominate. If back in the day when Elon Musk hadn't sort of thrown so much weirdness out there, I had a lot of ideas around trying to get in touch with Elon Musk and getting him on a podcast episode. I don't know who it'd be now. If I could bring anybody to a WordPress, do you know who I'd like? And it's a bit nerdy, but I'd like Linus Torvalds. I'd love to get him on stage. That's kind of in the wheelhouse, though, isn't it? It's not that weird. But okay, panelists, let's go through you one at a time. Who in your life would you bring to a WordCamp? And it does not have to be related to WordPress at all. So I'll start. It would be Linus. And if it had to be somebody that was nothing to do with WordPress, it would be an English musician called Jacob Collier. I think he would be great. He's like this jazz musician, but he's a bit that a lot of people think he's like comparable to kind of Mozart and things like that, in that he's got this depth and breadth to his musical knowledge, which is not normal. He's kind of a superhuman when it comes to making music. So I'd drag him on stage and tell him to just play as a song, Jacob. So, okay, there's mine. What about you, Marcus? Who would you drag along?
Well, I wouldn't be a father of two girls if I didn't say Taylor Swift.
Really? Gosh, now you are aiming high. She's like the top of the list.
If that doesn't get the youth into WordPress, I don't know what would.
Can you imagine?
She literally is on WordPress.
Is she?
She lives on WordPress. Yeah.
Can you imagine
WordPress
though?
WordPress hosts her.
If you got her to an event, like that would be chaos, right? Wouldn't it? There would be no way of managing that in a sensible way. Because you're right. It would be tens of thousands of younger people showing up just to be in proximity. It would cease to become a WordCamp.
She just needs to say the word WordPress, and I think we'd have a whole different
landscape. You could charge $60 for those tickets.
Taylor Swift, imagine it. Okay, that is going to be my constant watchword. Let's see if we can get Taylor Swift onto this show at some point before the year 2096.
Hey, any Taylor Swift.
Any Taylor Swift. All right, that's a good one. I like it. You've aimed very high. Jess, what about you? Who would you drag?
Oh, dead David Bowie.
Oh, yes.
He would be incredible. Can you imagine his thoughts on futurism and everything?
That's great. I love it. Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah, he's passed away, so you've got to go for somebody who's alive. I'm sorry, they're the rules. Well,
no, you didn't specify.
You're so right. I didn't.
Yeah,
it would be very awkward though if you brought David Bowie on stage.
That's a gross thought. I'm never going to get rid of that. There's a great show in the UK. I don't know if you've seen it, Jess. It's called Extras. It was a guy called Ricky Gervais starred in it. I think it was Extras. And in it, they had like all these cameo roles. And one of them was him, David Bowie. And he plays this song about Ricky Gervais's character. And it's so humiliating. It's absolutely brilliant. You should watch it. It's got, the song is called Little Fat Man.
Oh my God.
It's really good. It's really, really good. Wow. Okay. So there we go. We've got Taylor Swift. We've got Jacob Collier. We have got, who did you just say? David Bowie, my memory. And finally to Marcus. I know you've said one already, but now that we've introduced it properly, who would it be?
It would be between two people. Either I'm a big comedy fan. I'd either want Mel Brooks or Martin Short as Jiminy Glick.
Okay.
And if you haven't watched Jiminy Glick interviews, oh my goodness, that is so.
There's funny. My live one.
Never get a word in advice, but. What's that?
So Mark's doing Short. I'm doing Steve Martin.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Right. Okay. And I've got a new passed away one, which is a British comedian called Tommy Cooper, who, if you haven't Googled him, when this show is finished, just do it. Spend 3 minutes of the presence of Tommy Cooper and marvel at how funny one human being can be without actually doing anything at all. Just makes you laugh just by standing still. It's absolutely ridiculous. Okay, here we go. Pirate out of Paisley ship, apparently. Okay, that's good. Totally agree with you, Jess. I don't know what she's talking about there, but
she's talking about Bowie.
Of course, yeah. And David in Extras was hilarious. He was hilarious. The premise of that show was brilliant. So have you heard of Ricky Gervais? He did The Office, the original Office.
Oh, yeah.
He became quite famous, I believe. And he did this show called Extras, and the whole show was based around him trying to get into a Hollywood movie as an extra, you know, just to be somewhere where he said one line. And so they filmed the whole thing from his perspective. And in the background were all these A-list celebrities. So like Johnny Depp and things like that. But the twist was Johnny Depp, in effect, was the extra because he had like one line in the show where he'd say something like, can you just go on over there? And that was it. That was all he got to do. And, so the A-list became the extras and the extras became the A-list. It was really cleverly done. And there we go. Apparently, Taylor Swift's website is built with Cadence and is so breathtakingly inaccessible. If only Taylor Swift had a few dollars lying around where she could employ somebody, who was an accessibility expert. What are we talking about, says James? Why? Oh, indeed. You dropped
the world's
this
most incredible word camp panel.
We're trying to imagine. Ooh. Who would we invite to a WordCamp just to spice it up a bit? And we ended up.
What you're listening to is something that went way off the rail.
It really did go off the rail very, very quickly. But I love it when it does that. That's why this show is so much fun. Okay, let's get back on the rails. So that was us talking about this WordCamp event in Poland. This is a similar story to the one that Jess just announced. Obviously, Jess has moved from Pressable. She's now in charge, general manager at Rocket.net. Something similar, I suppose. Well, it's an internal promotion, but I thought I'd mention it. I don't know John Penland, but John Penland seems to have had a really amazing story over at Kinsta. He has now become the chief executive officer, so CEO. And in of itself, that's what it is. We've all heard of Kinsta and what have you. But I just like this, actually. I like the fact that he started out in Kinsta as a support engineer 9 years ago. And he's risen through the ranks, number of roles in sales, operations, customer success, right up to chief executive officer. And so I really don't have anything more to say than that, other than that the fact that he's worked there for ages means that, says here, the CEO transition is not expected to bring major shifts as he's been with the company and involved in leadership for many years. So not having met him or know much about him, I guess I'd just say congratulations to John for your success over there. Okay, right. More events this time. WordCamp Asia. If you are going to go to WordCamp Asia, it's in Mumbai this year, India, for the first time. It's quite exciting. You will have to, of course, as Marcus said, pick between it and PressConf. That's right, isn't it? That's the conflict, PressConf and this. Yeah.
Correct.
But if you are going to make it and you fancy going, then they need speakers, as they always do. And that call for speakers has now opened. This is a really great page. I know this is ridiculous and sort of getting in the weeds a bit. I feel some of the pages aren't done as well as this, so I'm not calling out any other page, but this page has been done, I think, really, really well, because it demonstrates everything you need to know if you feel like applying. So what kind of talks could you do? Lightning, regular, joint sessions, hands-on workshop. What can you speak about? And they've limited, which is curious, they've limited you to a certain arrangement of topics. AI, business, marketing and growth, community contributions and culture development, technical topics, design and user experience workshop. Maybe they're not limiting you, but they're still...
Yeah, that kind of covers most of it.
Yeah, it kind of covers everything, doesn't it? But it's nice that it just supports you through that process. You know, where might you fit in? And then how you might go about actually creating your sessions and keep it real and all of those kind of things and what have you. And then you can see the dates and what have you. And if you fancy joining, you click this button here and you'll end up on a Google form, which tells you that you've got until Halloween 2025 in order to make your submission. So you've got absolutely ages, lots and lots of planning gone into this. So there we go. That, I think, is the last piece of event news. And then...
I just want to say,
please,
they have done such a nice job putting together WordCamp Asia this year. I am fortunate to get to work with two of the organizers.
Nice.
And so I get to hear a little more than I think most people do. But I think that this is going to be one of the best years yet. So proud of the team.
I have a sneaking suspicion, just because of where it is this year, and I'm going to use the word hunger, the hunger for WordPress in Asia seems to be remarkable. You know, it seems to be something which is really on the rise, growing a really credible career path and those kind of things. And the fact that it's going to be in a country of 1.4 billion people, and we know that some of the big hitting agencies and development houses are coming out of India, I'm going to predict that this will be the biggest event that WordPress has ever seen. I don't actually know if it has the capacity to be that. In other words, can the venue support, let's say, 3,000 or 4,000 or something like that? But it really wouldn't surprise me. I think in many cases, sadly, a lot of the people from India who would have been to other events maybe find the whole process of, let's say, visa application just as one of the hurdles. Maybe that was enough to stifle that event in terms of numbers, but I've got a feeling this is going to be a whopper. So for that reason alone, I think it would be curious to show up and see what it's like. You know, a 4,000 plus WordPress event will be... Yeah,
India has local events that are 600-800 people, yep. Which is...
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And they have a lot of them. It's not like there's just one or two. You know, COVID came and went, and it seems to have risen off the back like a tidal wave. In my part of the world, it all fell to pieces, and it's very hard to get it to come back. So that hunger is going to be amazing. There you go. Echoing my thoughts there, Taco, because it's in India, I think it has the potential to be the biggest WordCamp to date. Yeah, I think we need a bit of that, don't we? I feel like it would be nice. I don't know what your thoughts are. I know that two of you, at least, me included, three of us, went to WordCamp US, and that felt like it was much, much smaller than the previous iteration. I think 973 tickets or something like that were sold. I could be wrong about that. So going to one which was big, I believe, would be amazing. Yeah, and Patricia... I believe India doesn't issue visas for people from Pakistan. Oh, really? Okay, that's news. That's intel that I didn't know. So if you're from Pakistan or Bangladesh, you will not be able to attend. That's
a political... I don't know if that's factual, okay. So we should probably have them look into their...
Yeah, I would love to know if that's true, actually, Patricia. I mean, I'm not denying your sincerity there, but it would be good to know if that's actually the case. The dog, Jess's dog, I think had something to say there. Unfortunately, he did it in bark, and I don't speak bark, so...
I don't have the AirPods yet, so...
No, imagine the day when that happens and you can finally...
That would be amazing. That would be absolutely amazing.
Yeah. I wonder what the dog was basically going to say, food or walk or door. Yeah.
It's only a matter of time, really. Yeah,
it's only a matter of time.
I believe someone had the audacity to drag in front of my house.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was it. It was outrage.
A lizard crept across the driveway. That's what sets my dog off.
Yeah. There's something that the non-Floridians don't understand.
What's that? Oh, that.
Marcus said a lizard.
Yeah. Crow. No, we don't have lizards. No. Yeah. We only see pictures of lizards. Oh, and frankly, that's alarming enough.
That's the least of it. That's
I thought you were talking about alligators.
That's happened too, but
yeah. Do you actually get alligators like in the environment? Like, do they wander about sometimes?
So Marcus and I live near a lake that next to the Everglades is the most populous body of water in the entire United States for alligators. And it's because that's where they take the alligators that they find in people's pools and backyards and stuff.
Dump them. Right.
Them with water.
They do. They really do. Yeah.
And so, like, how often, honestly, how often do you see an alligator just sort of hanging around, you know, just kicking the tires?
Very frequently.
Really? Yeah.
If you came to visit, I could guarantee you an alligator sighting.
Yep.
Wow, that's mental. That's actually mental. if you'll forgive me, I don't want to see an alligator.
But also bald eagles and like red hawks and.
Well, we have lots of hawks in this area.
Happy with that. Just the alligators. But alligators don't typically eat people. Look at us. We're going off feast again so quickly. They don't eat people, do they? Do they? They do. I'll bet they do.
If you get close, they don't seek people out. Okay. But if you get close enough or threaten their families, then sure.
Wow.
They're not super aggressive like crocodiles, right?
Right.
So, no. No. Most of the time when you hear somebody got hurt, it's because they're doing something stupid.
They were
stupid.
Doing something dumb, yes.
Oh, which, Florida, with a stick or something. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Look, like, I'm a YouTuber.
My head inside his mouth.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. I'm a social media influencer. I'm going to photograph myself.
That's just Darwin Award stuff, anyway. It's natural selection at work. It's, you know.
There's this award which is issued every year. You know, we have the Nobel Prize for... I think I mentioned this on a previous show. I'll just be quick. We have the Nobel Prize for outstanding contributions to something, you know, whatever it may be, science or what have you. There's a body of people who put together the Ig Nobel Awards. Ig Nobel meaning, you know, kind of exactly the opposite of noble, although Nobel and noble are not the same word. And it's for the most pointless thing. Like the pointless thing in whatever field. And this year, one that caught my attention was the science one. And the Ig Nobel Award for Science this year went to somebody who spent, I think, 4 years of their life, and their PhD was trying to figure out which way up it is best to transport an unconscious rhinoceros. Just toss a coin, try it on a few.
Tell me you were born into money without telling
me. You gotta be born into money.
Spoiler alert, it's on its side.
James is apoplectic. James, tune out now for your own sanity.
James, apparently the answer is rhinoceros.
Yeah. Apparently. Rhinoceros. Okay, let's get back to it. So Taco had a comment. You can't be serious, can you, Taco? That would be phenomenal. So the comment is, I'd love it to be the first WordCamp to go beyond 10,000 attendees. Taco, in all seriousness, could you respond to that? Do you actually think that's plausible? 10,000 just seems like such a big jump, doesn't it? It's like 3x.
I have no idea what the capacity is at the venue.
I was going to say, what does the venue hold?
Yeah. I don't know. But I mean, if you could, you would, right? And it seems like India would be the single country on earth at the moment. Okay, Patricia was doing a bit of a check. It was told to me by somebody from Bangladesh. Okay, thank you. So, and then isn't it visas that they need, says Tammy. I will stick to being next to sheep and a river with frogs. Yeah, that's about as bad as it gets here, Tammy, as well. I like it. But does, gosh, honestly... Does it? Does alligator taste like chicken? That's got to be this episode title.
It does.
Does it?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to write that down as the title. Alligator taste.
It's a little chewier, but it basically tastes like chicken.
Okay. Yes.
Side note, Marcus, I think our next meetup needs to be a black hammock.
What's that? Good. Okay.
Get some alligator tenders, nuggets, alligator nuggets.
They serve gator bites.
It's a restaurant slash airboat facility that is on the side of the lake that we were talking about with all the alligators.
The vegetarian credentials of this show have just fallen out the floor. I mean, I have no words. No. Yeah, okay. several regular word camps, says Taco, in India have several regular word camps in India have 1,200 plus attendees, so I don't think 10K is impossible. So you were being serious. Okay, that what an aspiration that would be. Let's hope the event organizers have the space to put those in. So getting back to where we were, so call for speakers is basically where we started off.
That's where we started off
and then we ended up with eating alligators.
It's probably best we don't leave a ton of time for waiver.
Quickly then, I have no idea what this
quickly
means.
Let's not talk about this at all.
No I think this is good. I think this is a good one to talk about, but I'm gonna couch it in my utter lack of legal understanding. I'm just going to read the bit at the top. So there has been a development for many, many, many months now. The legal bits and pieces between Automattic and WP Engine have been going backwards and forwards. As before, Ray from the repository tracks it better than anybody that I know of. She does the hard work to make it understandable. Like, she literally attends virtually the entire the entire court proceeding, which is going a bit above and beyond. So yeah, but I don't really understand what's going on, but I'll just read out from Matt's blog. Matt being Matt Mullenweg, produced a piece. What date was it? Does it say it on there? It doesn't. It was a few days ago. And he says, just got word from the court that the court dismissed several WP Engine and Silver Lake's most serious claims, antitrust, monopolization and extortion, have been knocked out. These were by far the most significant and far-reaching allegations in the case, and today's decision with today's decision the case is narrowed significantly. There are then links to Gibson, which I presume is the court, legal company that they're using. I'm not entirely sure, but no doubt, if not already, I'm sure Ray will appraise us of what actually this all means. But obviously things are moving. And in this case, Matt appears to be satisfied with the way that they've gone there. I don't know what that means for the future or how much we've got left, but I think the end of 2027 is more likely when all of the shoes will drop. But that's all I have to say about that, unless any of you want to mention it.
No. I think antitrust and monopolization is really hard to prove, so that doesn't surprise me. I'm a little bit surprised about the extortion one, I'm not a legal expert either. I've just been following from the peanut gallery like most of us have.
Yeah.
And that one sort of surprises me. But it'll be interesting to see where the rest of them go. And like you said, Ray will be able to put out a really good piece on all of us explaining it in words we all understand.
Well, and the interesting thing about that is, even when Ray does her absolute best, I still have to read it two or three times to get any kind of level of comprehension. The thickness of it and the depth of it all and the minutiae of it all kind of makes it almost impossible for my tiny brain to follow what's going. And because there's such long periods of time between that thing and the next thing, I kind of lose context as well. So I can't really keep a track of, well, okay, where does that fit in? So anyway, it's over to the lawyers. But something has been decided. Something has been thrown out by the court. Courtney says, so getting back to that, CloudFest Europe, that was 10,000 people. So it can be done. Man, though, that was...
They had an entire theme park.
Yeah, they got a theme park. You know, I mean, they got all the fun going on there. Okay, dragging us back into eating alligators. Okay, sorry, it's got to be done. James, he's from being confused to participating.
He was the director here that was keeping us on, and now all of a sudden this is
acceptance.
Right. Yeah,
this is James just accepting where we're going.
I love this show because it's like this. This is why I love it. If it was just really all about WordPress all the time, I don't think it'd be anything quite as interesting. The fact that it goes off the rails is great. James,
this is the last time that two Floridians are allowed to be on the show at the same time. Right. I feel that rule of thumb.
I'm so excited. It felt like when your work bestie gets scheduled with you.
Yeah.
Yes.
It goes straight into the alligator conversation. I have tried alligator, says James, in New Orleans. No, he's not in New Orleans. He's tried it in New Orleans. Alligator fritters with a creamy parsley sauce.
That sounds good.
That's actually making me hungry.
That actually sounds good.
Okay, here we go. I think the difference between, so this is Taco. We're on to the Matt piece now about the legal action. Taco says, I think the difference between Matt's article and Ray's article is interesting. Oh, she's written a piece already, has she? Okay, thanks, Taco. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll draw that out next time. Matt's claiming a win feels optimistic. He said, okay, right. Okay, so Taco, you're saying that there's maybe a different spin on it presented somewhere else. Okay, I will have a look at that. And then Imran, hello, Imran. Imran Sadiq from Web Squadron. Each time Matt's claimed a win in the WP Engine drama, never really is a win. Yeah, okay, so thank you. So we've got two very different approaches there. I'm reading off the Matt version of things, and it would appear that maybe Ray and Taco and Imran have got a different opinion. Well, I shall go and...
So you're saying looking at something that's written from a third party objectively might be more appropriate than reading something that's written by one of the participants.
I think that's what they're saying. Yeah. I will go and have a look. I will go and see what I can see in the future. Right. Okay. From one extreme to another, let's move on. This is a few plug-in-y bits that came my way. Usually from other people's newsletters and things like that. I can't remember where this one came from. It might be the WP Weekly again. WooCommerce people, I don't know if this will be of interest to you, but this is version 1.0. It's called, I'm going to try to pronounce it. It's called Wavinai Search. And I'll just read the bits and pieces. Enhance your WooCommerce store with Wavinai Search, the smart and customizable search solution for transforming the way your customers shop. And I'll just read one more sentence. Unlike standard WooCommerce search, Wavinai delivers instant, relevant, and accurate results, helping users find what they want faster and boosting your store's conversions. When I read it, I saw this phrase, token-based search algorithm, which made me feel like AI was a part of it, because that's the only context in which I've really heard tokens being used. So I don't know if that's the case, but maybe it's worth checking out. I don't know. But anyway, there's that. Anybody? I'll move on. Yeah. Okay. Back to AI,
if
though.
I can somehow fix search query loads, then I'm sure it'll be helpful. I just don't know how it works.
Okay.
Yeah. My guess is the AI at the end of Wavinai is intentional, that it AI powered. WordPress and WooCommerce search is one of those things that we're just going to continue to battle with. So if anybody comes up with a really great one, have at it.
Okay. Thank you, Taco.
Isn't it amazing that after all these years, we're still working on like a search that works?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I mean,
well, they work. It just takes forever.
Yeah.
Sure. They work. Yeah.
Right. Well,
if you think about it, every time you do something like a Google search, the context that's added into that is so immense. And now just going from that list of links to something much more personalized is pretty, I mean, it's amazing. You imagine what's going on in the background. And we've just got this basic search, which takes absolutely ages. It does seem like, you know, because of the grunt work that they've got going on in the back end, they can do a lot, can't they? Whereas
for commerce, though, if you can get really good search for commerce and increase conversions, you get the right products in front of the right people, that can make a real difference. So
Taco, clearly
good hosting.
Oh yeah, there you go. Thank you. I wonder who you'd be recommending in that scenario, Jess Frick from Rocket.net. I wonder which.
Obviously, Bluehost.
Yeah. Oh, did you hear that? that was the first insult I think I've ever heard on this show.
Okay, I'm just kidding. You don't actually need to be on this show together anymore.
Jess, if you just get in your car.
I think
you each need to get a lawn sign. You need to have a lawn sign that says rocket.net, and Marcus needs to have one that says Bluehost.
Yeah.
And, you know.
I can move you. So like,
be the battle that nobody in our community understands.
That's right.
Yeah. Like, I don't understand the earth science.
I'd say, Jess, just nip around there during the night and just put a couple of alligators on his lawn. You know, show him who's boss. That's all there is to it. Taco knows the team, apparently. If we look at the plugin again, you can see at the top it says by Servilia. I'm going to go with that. Servilia or Vili AI, it's got at the end. He says the team is really nice and skilled. So curious to see what they built. The peacemaker. The peacemaker. There you go. I like blue rockets as well. That's good. I like it. Saved by the taco. Very good. Love it. Thank you for your contribution, Taco.
Always the diplomat.
If you have very large pockets, then get into the AI business, because it would appear that, you know, $1.5 billion is the kind of amount that you may have to hand over to people whose data you stole or took. So this is the Anthropic story. Last week, they agreed to a $1.5 billion. Just say that out loud. It's $1,500 million that they are giving because they, in order to train their Claude model, they went out and ripped a load of books, and the authors, as you'd imagine, we're not entirely happy with that. And so in order to make this go away, they're offering to give each eligible, I think it's not author, I think it's eligible book, $3,000 each. So add it all up, it comes to $1.5 billion. Obviously, if you've got lots and lots of books, like Stephen King may have, I'm just making his name up, I have no idea if he's got anything to do with this lawsuit, this may be worth tens of thousands to you, potentially, I don't know. Hundreds in his case, but... yeah, and it really does go to show the kind of the basis upon which the stuff that we're now using all over the place, AI all over, is kind of built on a bit of a shaky foundation, or at least a foundation which, if you can satisfy it financially, is solid. But if the authors, in this case of books, are going to come after you, what an eye-watering number of dollars that is. That's just insane. Anybody want to comment?
I just read that... Perplexity is being sued by Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yep.
Similar issues. And I think we're going to continue seeing this. And I do kind of wonder. So one of my favorite movies ever is Boondock Saints. And the director famously made no money on it because he had most of his contracting, you know, finances tied up in VHS distribution. And of course, it got pirated, and then everybody, you know, cult classic, and the guy made no money until like Boondock Saints 2. I kind of wonder how that's going to play out in this world of AI and the lawsuits and, you know, IP ownership, and, you know, how many authors are not even going to see a penny of their work being, you know, redistributed by AIs because some, you know, book publisher had digital rights. Or, you know, some weird little clause somewhere. It'll be really, really interesting to see what that means. And also, you know, how people will be interested in distributing their content going forward as a result.
That's the bit that's kind of interesting to me, is this bit here. For publishers and creators, here we go. If you rely on AI tools in content workflows, provenance now matters more. So this is me and you, you know, nothing to do with Anthropic per se, but if we've been using an AI and producing content off the back of it, I don't know how you would ever kind of notice that the content from a particular author had been used. And obviously this lawsuit presumably sweeps that whole thing away from Anthropic anyway, but it does raise the question that if your content was consumed by an AI and somebody kind of, you know, with an AI's help spins up another bit of content which is similar to yours in some obvious way. It's interesting. I've seen a few bits online where people have created a brand new, utterly unique bit of content, you know, literally just made up a spurious kind of band or something like that and then written articles about them, only to find that, you know, if you then go a few days later to an AI and ask it information about it, it knows about them and it takes your stuff as being true because it's the only stuff it can find. So it's kind of fascinating, but it's caveat emptor, really. We get what we wish for. They're definitely built on our product. And I'm still on the fence. I don't really know where I sit on that because I want the open web, I want everything to, you know, if you put something on the web, I want it to be free and available for everybody to consume. It's where it becomes transformative. I don't know where that line in the sand is. You have very different laws in the US around things like free speech and things like that. So,
well, yeah, like what constitutes a remix as opposed to derivative.
Yep. But also just the capacity to say, no, I never agreed to any of this. You know, I put my stuff online. Yeah, sure, I did that. But I had the expectation that you would come to my website, or at least a search engine would drive traffic in my direction so that I would benefit from it. Not now nobody's ever going to consume my stuff because it's going to be regurgitated out, or a search engine just going to cream off the best bits and recycle it as if it was their own content. It's the battle of our time, I think.
It's a lot of money too, obviously, $1.5 billion. But I wonder too if it's just kind of cost of doing business for some of these, because while the article says that they're going to destroy the, you know, the pirated books, the data is already the training data is already there. They're not going back through training data and pulling that stuff out, as far as I could tell. They're just agreeing to scrap the pirated copies of books that they have.
Oh, is that what it is? They're just going to delete that corpus of information, are they?
Yeah, right. That's what it looked like in the article. Okay, but the training data is done. You know, that information is already in their models.
So it's
but it's just a cost for them, you know. We got caught, we paid the bill, and now all this data is in our training model.
I think Taco sums it up really well here, actually. Thank you, Taco, as always. Very cogent and thoughtful analysis in a couple of sentences summed it up nicely. Open and free are not the same. Kind of, I often conflate the two things as being the same, I think, in some way. When talking about the open web, we need companies making money if we want the web to be sustainable. That's it in a nutshell, isn't it? It feels like the AI is a winner-takes-all kind of mentality. Which doesn't feel like it's in everybody's best interest. I'm sure it will be in the interest of the VCs and the shareholders in those AI companies, but it doesn't seem to have the long-term interests of all of us out there. Anyway, there you go. So hopefully, if you've got a book, or indeed, as Daveden said, if you've got a non-existent book, you can go and see if you can get $3,000 out of Anthropic for the book that you never wrote. That sounds good. A couple of hat tips this week, a couple of bits I wanted to mention. Firstly, this one from Remkes. This is far too technical. Remkes de Vries, he's often on this show. Far too technical to go into here. Sorry, I was trying to get rid of that caption. There we go. Let me put that back. And he, in this piece, talked about the WordPress loading sequence, all about technically what happens when you visit a WordPress page. What are the bits and pieces which are occurring? And as you can see, if you can see this, I'm scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, and there's a lot. One thing that I want to know, Remkes, is what the heck is this font? I want to know.
Yeah, I was like, what's going on with these headers, man?
Look at this. Look at this letter A, for example. Look at the way the kind of, look, it looks like there's this pointy bit here, and there's a fold here. Same with the D there.
Exploding.
I'm loving it. It's really nice, but I wonder if it's a custom one that he's got, because I've never seen that before. Anyway, so that's the first piece. And then the next piece is, he's been hard at work, Remkes, on a speed up your website. It's called the Complete Blueprint for Blazing Fast WordPress Sites. He's been talking about this with me and many other people for many, many months, and he's been sort of finessing it and getting it all done. It's now ready to go. So I'm going to just point you to the URL. It's within WordPress. No, it's not. It's within wp.com/courses/make-wordpress-fast, and each of those words is hyphenated. But if you just go back to remkesdevries.com and then you hover, click on the courses section, you'll be able to see it's here as well. And it is a really, really deep dive into how to make your, you know, how to pick up if your WordPress website is not as quick as it should be. Obviously, one component, which two of the panelists here would be interested in, would be the hosting side, but there's a ton of other stuff going on. And in 25 modules, he breaks it all down. So if this is your bag, you want your WordPress site speeding up, then go and check it out. There we go. Right, we're fast running out of time. Okay, should we end here? Let me just see what the other bit... Oh, let's just mourn this for a bit, shall we? A tear to your eye. WordPress didn't have to win the battle of the CMSs, but it kind of did. there were lots of potential rivals back in the day, and this was one of them. This was coming from TypePad. The story here is that TypePad is going out of existence. It'd be a bit like WordPress.com, I think. That would be the best way to describe it. It's an online version of Movable Type, which was a CMS. There's this long and storied history of how TypePad came to be and selling of it and it being bought by various people. But the point is, if you have a TypePad piece of content, if you've got a website out there, then it's going to die. It's going to disappear. So you've got just a few months. I think it's October. So coming up very soon, they're going to shut off the servers and the whole thing is going to go completely dark, which is very sad because it does mean that probably thousands, maybe millions, I don't know, of pieces of content on the internet will go out there only to be found on, I don't know, archive.org or... you could always
somewhere Claude is licking its lips.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. But you could bring them over to WordPress, of course. I imagine there's tools and services.
I didn't get a chance to read this. Is Google Type isn't going away? Just TypePad. Is it possible for people to move? This just goes back to the argument of owning your own content, right? And being able to move it. So if you host a Movable Type site somewhere, you know. Can you move your TypePad site to elsewhere still on Movable Type? Or
I don't know. The CMS is still hanging around. The CMS is still hanging around. So this, I think, is a bit like the .com version of WordPress where, you know, you pay a subscription fee and your content will exist until you stop paying the subscription fee. I think that's the case here. So I imagine there's ways of consuming that content and throwing it over to WordPress. Maybe somebody in the comments can help us out. But anyway, it's going to go dark. They are going to turn the servers off slightly unexpectedly because they said just a few months ago, earlier this year, that they had no plans to do that. So it is with a tear in all of our collective eyes that what was once a thriving rival to WordPress is going away. So two parts, one of them is going away, the online hosted version. So if that's you or a client, time to get them on some different hosting. Right, very last one. Last week we showed you a website which was like Windows XP. I don't know if you remember that, listeners, but we showed a website on the screen which was just like the operating system Windows XP. It was breathtakingly similar. And so just as we end, I'll raise you this one. This is the posthog.com website. I have no words for this. This is next level stuff. I don't think ever seen anything quite as in-depth as this as a website before. So if you're listening to this, it looks like a distribution of Linux or something like that. It looks like a desktop and there's a bunch of items and it does not matter which one you click on. This interface opens up and every single bit of it gets you somewhere completely different. Like it really is. It's like an operating system. It doesn't matter where you go. Let's open up, I don't know, whatever this thing is. You've got this whole, then you can like do searches and filters. And I mean, what the heck?
They spent a lot of time on this.
Oh, I mean, literally, if I started work on this now, I would be like the age of Gandalf. And I still wouldn't be anywhere near finishing it, you know? It's just absolutely blooming ridiculous. Here's their doc session. So anyway, I would just say go and have a play because it's absolutely remarkable. It's a
go to the pricing, though. I think pricing was one of my favorite parts. Okay. The calculator over there on the left.
On the left. Pricing. Okay. We get a,
yeah, I love that they have a box with a disc. That's my favorite.
That was it in the day. Pay as you go. But isn't it amazing? Oh, and the best bit, my favorite bit that I discovered, I think it was in Trash. Was it in Trash? Yeah, if you go into the Trash, they've actually filled the trash off. And one of them is employees' feet pictures.
Oh, boy.
They put pictures of their employees' feet. Labeled them things like plenty of feet, questionable decisions, lobster toes, and so on. But I mean, what the heck? The stuff that's just in the bin, like long-term. Anyway, I just think it's a completely remarkable website. Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing. Phenomenal. It's absolutely amazing. You're right.
There you go, posthog.com. God knows whether they'll get any sales generated from it. It's a SaaS app.
I don't lots even know of traffic, what it does.
That's... Yeah, lots of traffic, I'm sure, just because it's a lot of fun. Okay, I think that's it. That's what we've got time for. So if everybody's all right, I'm going to call this episode Alligators Taste Like Chickens, because I think that kind of perfectly sums it up, yeah? Look, Jess is limbering up. Yeah, he's already ready.
My lunch is determined.
He's stretching it up.
A humiliating hand wave time. Has everybody got their hands at the ready? Mark, are you able to join us in this, Marcus? That's lovely. There we go. Thank you so much. I will use that. This episode will come out on, tomorrow, the 16th of September, as an audio podcast. That's why we do it, really, to get it to you in audio format. That's the whole point. But it's nice to get everybody on the screen. That's lovely, too. So it only remains for me to say thank you to Jess Frick, the general manager at rocket.net, also to Marcus Burnett from the WP World, as well as Bluehost, and Mark Benzicane from Main WP. Thanks for joining us. And of course, it goes without saying thank you to you if you were joining us live. Really appreciate that. You keep the whole show going and make us very happy indeed. Don't have nightmares about alligators unless you live in Florida, in which case you probably should be worrying about them right now. See you next week. Take it easy. Bye. Bye, 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 bye.
Bye,
bye. Bye.